is Daf Ayin. So let's take it the very top line. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah the words Ve'ein Nolin Rishus. So it was talking about a situation where two people who had not made an error with each other, that they can't take Rishus from each other. The Gemara points out that it was an obvious point. If they don't have, if they're not making an error, the Netiyas Rishus doesn't work either. And the Gemara explains, we're going to see this a little bit later on the Daf here. The Gemara just says, L'tzricha was only need to teach me the following din. The Afa Gav D'Amrile Kani Almanas L'Haknos, even though they said, I'm giving you my property for someone else, for you to mock it to the other person, that doesn't work. In other words, let's say you have two people who did not make an Erev, and then the two people who did make an Erev, so each individual is machna their property to the other individual, right? So there are four people that go down to two people. That doesn't work because you haven't mevati your shush all to one individual. So Gemara says, even if you were to say that you're machna my property to Reuven, in order for Reuven to give it over to Shimon, since those are two steps, it doesn't work. It's only good if everyone's mevati their shush all to one person, but to take two steps to go indirect, that would not be good. So that's what Gemara says. We're going to revisit this again at the bottom, just another line. The Gemara now says the following. We saw this discussed already, mentioned earlier, but the Gemara says the following shaila. Five people are living in one courtyard. One guy did not make Erev. So now we know Bitta Rishus works. If he's Mavat Rishus, so then he's Mavat himself, his Chatzar becomes part of everyone else. All other four people have an Erev, they're one unit. He's excluded, so if he wants the chatzar to be used, right now it's really two people. It's the four as one unit and himself. So the only way he can make it into one rishus is by him relinquishing his rights to everybody else, and he's now stuck in his house. So now the Gemara wants to know, when he's mevata rishus, kishu mevata rishuso, does he tzarech levata lechalechar ve'echad, do you have to say I'm mevata rishus to A, and then to B, and then to C, to D? Oh, lo, or it's not needed. He could just mevatel rishus to one of them, and then that's considered as if he was mevatel to all four of them. So the Gemara says this is a machlokes. And Amarle, but Rabba says to Abai, Rabba says Amarle, tarach levatel l'chol echad. Rabba is of the opinion that you have to separately mevatel rishus to each one, while Abai, who had raised the question, Abai felt that you do not have to mevatel rishus l'chol achas v'achas. It's enough to just do it to one of them. So that's the machlokes. Now, this is where the Gemara gets tricky. It's going to be a long, long brisa and an analysis of the brisa. It's hard in just the text. It's a text proof here. The point we get, we understand the machlokas right now, but just reading through the brisa, it gets a little just tricky. There's a lot of very nitty-gritty details. So we'll try to take it slow, step by step, but that's pretty much the rest of the Amud, analyzing this long brisa of various situations. So the Gemara says, Esi ve'Abaye challenged Rabbah from the following. Just to remember, Abai says that you have to only do to one of them. Maybe you can remember that the Namak is Abai starts with an Aleph, so only to one of them. And Rabbah says you have to do Rav to all of them. You have to mevat rishus to each of them. So Abai asks from the following brisa. Echad shelo irv no sein rishuso le'echad she'irv. So if one guy did not make an Erev, he has to mevat rishus to just one other guy, implying that there might be other people in the courtyard, but it's enough for him to mevat rishus to just one of them. This is a proof for Abai. So that's really, the brisa could end there. That would be the proof for Abai, that it's enough to do just one to mevatel rishus to one of the people. Now the Gemara goes on to say there are other cases here. The next case in the brisa is, shnayim she'irvu, nosim rishusan le'echad shle'irv. And also if you have two people who made an Erev and one guy did not, what you could also do is a bit of rishus, the two guys have an Erev. The problem is the other guy did make an Erev. So the two of them can mevat the rishus to the one guy. Now, even though the one guy did make an Erev, we don't care. If you have one guy who owns it, there are a few ways to have ownership for one person. Either it's for all of us to make an Erev before Shabbos, or everyone mevat the rishus to me. So even though I did not make an Erev before Shabbos, if you're all mevat the rishus to me, we don't need an Erev anymore. It's all to me anyways, so there's no need for Erev. So even though you guys made Erev with each other, it still doesn't work because I'm here. So if you're both mevat the rishus to me, that will also work. A third case. Shnayim shel irvu, nosin rishusan lishnayin she'irvu. If two of you did not make an Erev, so what you could do is you could be mevato your rishus to two other people who made an Erev together. So let's say me and Elliot made an Erev together, so we're considered one person. The two of you did not make an Erev, so you can mevato rishus to the two of us because we're all one unit, so now we become all one larger unit now. That would work as well. The fourth case, o le'echad shel irvu. Or let's say there's only one person in the, Gemara's going to seem to say it's a repetitive case here. It's, again, a little trickier. But let's say two of you did not make an Erev Rather, two of you made an Erev, you can Mevati Rishus to one person who didn't make an Erev, and that would work also. Whether, you know, one person didn't make an Erev, or two people made an Erev together, the two non-Erev people could Mevati Rishus to either one. In other words, if Eli and I made an Erev, or let's say I just did not make an Erev, either way you can Mevati Rishus to both of us as making an Erev, or everyone to me who did not make an Erev. Hopefully that's somewhat clear. But the goal is we're trying to get everyone to Mevati Rishus to just one entity. So now the next case that Bryce says, Aval lo echad she'iriv no sein reshuso le'echad shelo iriv. One guy who made an Erev cannot be mevatel reshus to just one guy who did not make an Erev, because the implication is there's still another guy in the property who he was not mevatel reshus to. So that guy's still not part of the unit here. Also, the ein shnayim she'irvu, two guys who made an Erev, ein shnayim she'irvu no sein reshuson Lishnaim Shul Iru. They cannot give their both properties to two guys who didn't make an Erev. So let's say Eli and I are in the property. We did not make an Erev with each other. So we're called two different parties now. The two of you made an Erev, that's very nice, but you decide to Mevat the Rishus to each of us. Problem is, we're not one unit. We're two separate units, so that has not created one entity in the courtyard. That does not work. And V'ein Shnaim Shelo Irvu. Nosin Rishus on Lishnaim Shelo Irvu. It's a similar case. Two guys who did not make an Erev cannot be Mevat the Rishus to two people who also didn't make an Erev, because that's still to two different parties. That's not one entity. And then this is now the seventh case. I said we already did that one. Okay, fine. So those are the cases that do work and the cases that don't work. So now the Gemara says, okay, after establishing all those cases, we're going to go through each one independently. But the key raya, key kasha for Rabbah was Katani Mihas Reisha. The first case of the Raisa was Echad Shelo Erev. Nosin Rushuso Lechad She'irv. One guy who did not make an Erev can give to another person who did make an Erev. Now, the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami, what's the case here? Ideleka Acharina Bahadev. There's no other guy there. They're just two people. So then, Bahadev Man Erev. Who did the first guy make an Erev with, right? Reuven made an Erev, and Shimon did not. So the Gemara says, Shimon, who didn't make an Erev, could be Vatav Shus to Reuven, who did make an Erev. Well, who did Reuven make an Erev with? There must be a third person there. Ella, Pshita, Dika Achrina Bade. There's one other guy there, and yet Katani Leechad She'irv. It's enough for a Reuven who did not make an Erev to Mevatav Rishus to Reuven who did make an Erev. He doesn't have to also Mevatav Rishus to Levi. It's just to one of the guys who made an Erev, and that's enough. So that's the kasha against the Rabbah. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbah says, what's the answer? What's the explanation of this Braisa? Why is he only Mevatav Rishus to one of the people? V'Rabbah Hacha B'Maaskina and Dehave Umes. There was a third guy. Levi was actually here, which Reuven made Shimon and Levi made an Erev with each other, but Levi died on Shabbos. So now Reuven obviously can't make Bevatav Rishus to Levi. Levi's dead now. But Shimon, who made an Erev with Levi initially, so he has the rights to the property, and Reuven's Bevatav Rishus only to Shimon. Had Levi been alive, and Achnami, he would have been Bevatav Rishus also to Levi. So, but that's the case here. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Ihava Umes, if Levi was really alive and then he died, Eim HaSeifa, look at the Seifa now. Aval Ein Echad She'iriv no sein reshuso l'echad shelo eriv. A guy who made an eriv may give his property, his reshus, to a guy who did not make an eriv. Vi dehavi meis amaylo. Now, we said this case does not work, right? This case does not, right? Aven ein echad she'iriv. So our case, Shimon who made an eriv cannot give his reshus to Reuven who didn't make an eriv. Well, why not? Vi dehavi umeis. If Levi was alive but now died, Amayla, why not? It's only Reuven and Shimon left standing. Who cares which direction you mevat the Rishus? Who cares who made the Erev? As long as it all goes to one person, whether to Reuven or to Shimon, that should work. So it must be that Levi is actually still alive. Because if Shimon gave his property to Reuven, well, still, Levi didn't give his property to Reuven. So Ela Pshita de Isa, must be Levi is still alive in the Seifa. And the Gemara says, Umid the Seifa Isa, Reisha Nami. So if the Seifa is a case where Levi is alive, must be the Reisha is also a case where Levi is still alive. And the Gemara gives the answer, no, Midi Irya. Does it have to be such a way? Hakadisa. The Reish is a circumstance and Seif is a different circumstance. The Reish is a case where Levi is dead, and Seif is a case where Levi is still alive. So, Teda, bring your proof. The Katani Seif, the Seif says, Seif of the Reish, the end of the Reish. It says, Shnaim Shelo Irvu, two guys who did not make an Erev. Nosin Rishuson Lashayim She'irvu. So let's say Eliyahu and I made an Erev. So Ez and Avi, who did not make an Erev, can bevat the Rishus to us, because we are one unit. We're considered one person. So the Gemara says, L'shnayim in lechelo. How come it says only if Eliyahu and I are together? Well, let's say we're not together. Let's say just me. So Ez and Avi, Mevat the Rishus to me, I'm sorry, we're together, but let's say the Mevatel Rishus only to me of the party. They don't Mevatel to Elliot. So that implies it doesn't work. It only works if you're Mevatel Rishus to both of us. You need to Ech L'chol Echad L'Echad. Does that not imply, like Rabbah, that you need to Mevatel Rishus L'chol Echad L'Echad? Again, L'Shnaim, and only if you're Mevatel Rishus to both of us, but L'Echad to one of us, lo, it wouldn't work. So Gemara says, no, Abai Amar, Abai says, the Braisa means, my lebez, what does it mean, your Mevatel Rishus, the two who did not make an Erev, your Mevatel Rishus to both of us? It means, le'echad mishnaim, to one of the two of the people who made the Erev, either to me or Elliot, that would actually work. So Gemara says, ihach, if that's the case, lisne le'echad shir. So it should have said in the Braisa, your Mevatel to one of the people who made Erev. It doesn't say that, oh, le'echad shelo Erev, or to one of the people who did not make an Erev. And that's Akasha. That's Akasha for Abai and Rabbah. Rabbah, rather, there's Akasha for Abai. How to read this in. I've mentioned in this past, Abai and Rabbah have a machlokas in general. There seems to be a theme throughout. Rabbah seems to embrace more about the text. Abai is more into the svar, the logic. So Abaye, even though he felt logically it would make sense that it's enough to Mevatel Rishus to one of them, he wasn't bothered too much about the text. Okay, adding a lamed here or so doesn't make the biggest deal. Well, Rabbah was very strong on the text of something, so he felt more compelled if the text was the way it was. It must be, you can't change the text so easily, so he felt compelled by the text and not as much about the svar. So now the Gemara says, after establishing that, the Gemara is going to go through the rest of this brisa that we mentioned above in the different circumstances. So we said above, again, the brisa, Echad Shelo Irv, one guy who did not make an Erev, let's call this guy Reuven. Reuven is a guy who did not make an Erev. Echad shelo Erev, no saying, Rishuso l'echad shelo Erev. Reuven could give it to one of the guys who did make an Erev. So l'abayit isa, according to Baye, it's a situation where the Levi is still alive. Because according to Baye, you just need to give to one of them. So it's even in a case where Levi is alive, it's enough to give to just one of them, either Shimon or Levi. But according to Kamash Milan, to teach us, to teach us, you don't have to be Mevatel Rishus to every one of them, just one of the guys who's part of the Erev. Le Rabbah, according to Rabbah, who said that this case is the Have Umeis, where Levi died, so then Velo Gazar, Zimnin Disa. So the Chiddush here is, you don't need to make a Gzerir. I mean, why would you thought to make it a Gzerir? Because maybe you should say, if the case where Levi dies, and now all Reuven has to do is Mevatel Rishus to Shimon, so that works, everyone agrees that works. Even Abai will agree, if there's only one person, Mevatel Rishus to Shimon. But there's a chashash, maybe you would think, since Levi was alive before Shabbos started, maybe one would deduce from this, if there was a case where Levi was still alive, maybe even Rabbah would agree, you can Mevatel Rishus to just one of them also. So maybe you should make a gzera, that even when Levi's dead, you shouldn't let Reuven Mevatel Rishus to just Shimon. Kamashvan, that we're not gozer. We're not gozer, meaning even though in this case Levi's dead, and Reuven can Mevatel Rishus to Shimon, we're not concerned that in another case where Levi's alive, Reuven would think, oh, all you have to do is Mevatel Rishus to one of them. He'd understand that that case is different, and you'd have to Mevatel Rishus l'chol echad v'echad. That's where Rabbah learns from this case. Next case of the Braisa. Shnayim she'irvu, two people who made an Erev, nosin rishusan l'echad shel irvu. So even though, let's say, Eli and I had made an Erev together, and there's one guy, let's say Ezra, did not make an Erev, So we could Mevatel Rishus to one guy, because we're no longer using an Erev anymore. Erev just puts people together. You can't make an Erev on Shabbos, so what to do is we Mevatel Rishus to Ezra, and even though Ezra didn't make an Erev initially, so it's all Ezra's property for Shabbos now. Pshita, of course, we already learned that in the previous statement to the Braisa. What's the added chiddush by giving this particular detailed case? So Gemara says, Malda says, same, what would you have thought? Kevin de la Erev, since Ezra, in our case at least, didn't make an Erev, he didn't participate with us, Liknisei, we should penalize him and not allow this Bitter Rishus to work. He should not have the rights. Kamashwan, no, we don't give him a penalty. Even though Ezra refused or he wasn't around to make an Erev with us, in the end of the day, if Elliot and I both decide to Mevatel Rishus to him, it would still work. So then the Gemara quotes from the Braisa, Ushnayim Shel Erev. Two people did make an Erev. So let's say Avi and Ezra did not make an Erev. So Nosin Rishus on the Shnayim Shel Erev, they could Mevatel Rishus to both Elliot and I, because we made an Erev before Shabbos, Elliot and I, we're one unit, so the both of you are Mevatel Rishus to our property, we're now considered one extended unit. So the Gemara says, L'Rabba, Tana Seifa, L'Gluye Reisha. Now Rabba, who again is of the opinion, you have to teach each case is L'Chal Echad V'Yachad, you have to Mevatel L'Chal Echad V'Yachad, this Seifa case here is to teach me how to understand the Reisha case. Now I don't know if it gets a little confusing, not confusing, but you have to read Rashi to understand what's going on here. If you look at Rashi, it's around 10 narrow lines up. Rashi says, Tani, Tana Hach Seifa, Ligluya Resha. This Sefer case here is the Bedahavi Umes asking him, where he said the Reish is a case where Levi died. The Katani Le'echad She'iriv Dila Isa Le'idach, if he was alive, Levi, by Levatule Le'i, you have to Mevata to Levi as well, Kata Katani B'ach Sefer. So this Sefer is the one that's teaching us that there are two people alive, to Eliyahu and I both alive, you both have to be Mevata Rishus when we're both alive. But if the case where Levi had died, then you don't have to be Mevata Rishus to Levi because Levi is dead. So we're teaching the Sefer case to reveal to us how to learn the Reisha case. Labaye. Shnayim shel Irvu Itzirchle. What's the Chiddush of two people who didn't make an Erev that they can Mevata Rishus to both Eliyahu and I as an Erev? Because Saka Dayte Chamin, I would have thought, Ligzar Duma Asa Levtule Lehu, I would have thought maybe you should not allow two people to mevata reshus to two other people. Maybe that wouldn't work. Maybe it only works one person can mevata reshus to two people who made an error. But maybe two people who did not make an error, maybe that's already too much. Kamashulah, no such concern. And even two people who didn't make an error can be mevata reshus to two people who did make an error. According to Rabbah, could be. I'm not following each of the cases. I need to go back into reads. I'm not sure. You could be right. But I can't respond. Sorry. So the Ende Gemara says, "Olechad shel Erev." Let's say this is the fourth case now of the Brice here. Two people who did not make an Erev, they could mevata reshus to one guy who didn't make an Erev either. That works because as long as if you're using a bit of reshus, you don't need an Erev anymore. So two guys are all mevata reshus to one guy, even though no one ever made an Erev. That works as well. So Lamali, what do you need to know? That we already learned the concepts already. So what's the need for this new scenario? So Mal the same, what would you have thought? Hani Mila Hecha the Miksasan Irvu U Miksasan Lo Irvu. Maybe bit the reshus of multiple parties to multiple parties only works when some people already made an Irv beforehand. Well Hecha del Chulan Lo Irvu, when no one in the Chatz at all made an Irv, all of us here, we didn't make an Irv at all, maybe we should make a gzera looking to say we should be penalized. How do we spend the Shabbos without an Erev? So we should be penalized, even though halachically, bit of Rishus certainly does work on Shabbos, about the Rishus to everyone. Maybe the Chachamim imposed a Kanas for anyone who never used any Erev. Kamashlan, they didn't impose such a Kanas, even though we try to encourage people to make an Erev every Shabbos, not to forget the concept of an Erev. If it were to be forgotten, you could still rely on a bit of Rishus for one to carry in the area. So then the Gemara says, Aval, Ein Echad, She'iriv, one guy who made an Erev, cannot be no same Rishusol, Echad Shalairv. He cannot give his property to one guy who did not make an Erev. And this is a case where there's another person also that's there. So Levi is really ruining the situation. If it's 1-to-1, then it works. But it's 1-to-2, and you only mevata Rishus to one of the guys who didn't make an Erev with Levi, that would not work. So Labaye, Tana Seifa Lugli Resha. For Abaye, this Seifa is teaching us here how to understand the Resha. This too is in the, if you look at the Rashi, two wide lines down Rashi says, Labaye, Tani Hach Seifa, this Seifa is to teach me. To Lo Itzrich, to Hapshita, you don't need this case. To Hapshita, to Ikecha, to Lo Batule, Rishusa. There's one other guy there, Levi, who wasn't about the Rishusa. So of course this bit of Rishus doesn't work. Why we teach a Sefer if it's really superfluous? To teach me the Dechula Masnisa, the whole Brice is a case, but the Isnayu Latarvayu, Marvin Askinim, we're talking about where all the other cases, they're all the guys are alive. Now, it's not a case where someone died, it's where they're all alive, and that Sefer case is teaching me the Reish is also a situation, the Isnayu, where Levi is in fact alive. Now, back inside the Gemara, the Rabbah, I did the Tani Reisha, Tani Nami Seifa, according to a Rabbah. This case is unnecessary, but since we taught the Reisha, we taught a symmetric case in the Seifa as well, even though it was a not a necessary case. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says four lines up. I did the Tani Reisha, Echad Shel Irv, Nosim Rishusel Echad Shel Irv, Tanach Seifa, De'etcha Lo. It's just teaching us the opposite doesn't work. That one to give a guy who didn't make an Irv doesn't work. So even though it seems obvious, the Braisa does this. Okay, we're almost done. I told you this Brice is just a very, very very technical Brice. So then the Gemara says, V'ein Shnaim Sh'irvu, Nosin Rishus on the Shnaim Sh'irvu. Two guys who made an Erev cannot give the property to two guys who do not make an Erev because those two guys are considered separate people. So Hasu Lomeli, what's the need for this? We already know the point here. I could sum up the point here. What's the need for this separate case here? L'tzicha debata le'chad minay l'chavre. This is what we had started off the top of the Amud with. Not this case, I'm sorry. Where one guy was mevatel his reshus to another guy. So Mal the same, what would you have thought? Maybe the lishir lihu, this should work. Let me look at Rashi for a second here. Rashi says, he pointed this out before. Again, the case is, where one guy is mevatel rishus to another guy, and you would have thought lishterele it should be good, because I think it's talking about a case where they kind of like, that guy's mevatel rishus to another guy. So I'm about the Ruvain's mevatel rishus to Shimon, and Shimon's mevatel his rishus to Levi. So since it's done in two steps, maybe that should work as well. Kamashon, it doesn't work. Because when Ruvain was mevatel rishus to Shimon, and at that point, it didn't work. Lo, it doesn't work. It has to be where everyone's mevatel rishus to one guy. But to have it go in two different stages, that doesn't work. It can't be Ruvain to Shimon and then Shimon to Levi, since when Ruvain was mevatel rishus to Shimon, it wasn't under one person's property. It wasn't all to the same person, direct to the same person. Therefore, this doesn't work either. And then finally, we finish the brisa. The ain shnaim shel irvu nosim rishus on the shnaim shel irvu. Two guys who did not make an irv cannot mevatel rishus to two other guys who also didn't make an error, because that's not going to one entity. Hasu lamali, what's the need for this case? Latzich, it's only needed to teach me the Amri Kanei al Mas Lahaknas. We start off the Amri this way, that this is an added chiddush. Let's say Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, not only am I mevatel rishus to you, I'm mevatel rishus to you on condition that you're mevatel rishus ultimately to Levi, there where you're articulating what your purpose is, that too does not work either. It has to be all where everyone's mevatel rishus to Levi directly. Only in that case works. So just to sum up what we did, a very technical daf in terms of all the halaminas, but at the end of the day, the way Bittur Rishus works is, either you're Mevatur Rishus to one person, one individual, every one of the properties to one person, even though that guy was never part of an Erev at all, you can Mevatur Rishus to one guy part of the Erev, or you can Mevatur Rishus to a union of people who made an Erev, that although there are multiple people, since they made an Erev halakhically, they're viewed as one person, so either Mevatur Rishus to one entity of people in an Erev, or to one individual, even if he was not part of an Erev. That's really what comes out from all this discussion. And then, separately, we had Rab and Abai had this machlokas, whether when you're mevatel rishus to an entity of people, you have to mevatel rishus to each one, or it's enough to mevatel rishus to just one of them. That's the discussion. So let's now move on. Okay. We are now the last line of the Amud here. The Gemara says, Vayiminei, they asked Rav Nachman, the following interesting shaila. Yorish mahu shivatel rishus. Kade yorish mevatel rishus of the father. Rashi explains the last line before he turned the page. Yorish sheshachach aviv, the father forgot. Well, lo iriv, he didn't make an eriv. Umeis b'shabbos, the father dies now. So if the father were to be alive, he can mevatel rishus to the property. Because he didn't make an eriv, bittur rishus works. Now here, the father died. So, velo bittur rishus, so mao shevatel hayorish. Can the yorish now go ahead and mevatel rishus? When he's yorish, how do we view the yerusha when a child is yorish the father? What type of rights does he have? So the Gemara clarifies this question, going on to Amud Beis now. Heicha di bai le'eruvei me'esmol matzim ariv. If the person, the father, were to be alive, since he could have it made an heir of Erev Shabbos, so also he's the one who has the right to be Mevatel Rishus on Shabbos itself, the ability to make an Erev is what empowers a person to be Mevatel Rishus. About hi, this child came in Ibai Laruve Mesmo Lamatsim Ariv. Had the child wanted to make an heir of Erev Shabbos, he could not have because it's not his property, his father owned it, and therefore also Lamatsim Mevatel, he cannot be Mevatel it on Shabbos either. He does not have that power. He did not have the power of making the Erev. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say, Dilma Yorish Kara Davuahu. Maybe the Yorish, the child, is the leg of the father. This is a very important phrase used oftentimes in the context of Yerusha and other relationships between the father and the son. Yorish Kara Davuahu. It's the Yorish is like the leg of the father. It comes up when it comes to Yerusha's Mammon. When a person inherits Mammon, a child in particular, so there's a discussion whether Yerusha is considered a lokeach, as if it's transaction. It goes from one property to the next. I don't know legally how we view these things, but I think they're tax ramifications. So seemingly, in at least American law, you'd imagine an inheritance is considered a transaction, a lokeach. But there is another opinion in the Gemara that's not called a transaction. It's a seamless transition. And the son is just taking over. There are no tax ramifications on the child. He's just continuing the legacy. So there's a unique relationship when it comes to Yerusha of the child. There is a Baal Maor in the eighth parak of Bava Basra, Yesh Nochum, which talks about the halachas of Nachla and Yerusha. The Baal Maor uses the phrase that when the son is Yorish the father, it's Ke'ilu Ha'av Kaim, as if the father is actually still alive. There is no transaction, there's no death even, at least vis-a-vis the property. That property continues to run as it did when the father was alive. So that's based on this language of Yorish is Kara Davu, it's the leg of the father. There was no buying and selling, it was just continuing the legacy. So it actually comes interesting. The Sefer Chassidim points out, there's an Indian we know brought down in the Gemara that a child fasts on the yahrzeit of a father. Nowadays, it's changed based on the Zohar's understanding of things. It's more of a tikkun, but it used to be, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch still, and some still have the practice of fasting on the yahrzeit of a father. That's because the kar davua, it's the extension of the father. So there's a certain mazal ra for the family when the father dies. But there's a mishabrula quotes from a shla. The shla says that there's an inyan to also fast on the yahrzeit of a rebbe, because he says there's a greater kavod one has to show a rebbe than to a father. The last mission, Maseches Horios, tells us that if a father is drowning and a rebbe is drowning, so one should save the rabba muvok over the father. Because while the father brought a child into the olam hazeh, the rebbe brings a person into olam haba. So therefore, if you have to fast for a father's yartzeit, certainly you should fast for a rebbe's yartzeit. So the Eli Rabba argues and says, no, the yartzeit's not about an union of kavod. Not a question of kavod, of showing honor. It's about a mazal ra. There's a certain mazal ra that since the child is an extension of the father, if there's a mazal ra on the father, it's a mazal ra on the child. But a Talmud and a Rebbe, there's no physical connection between the two of them, so there's no mazal ra. They don't need to fast. Now one could say that it's not about a physical connection to the Rebbe. This whole mazal ra is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. So one could say that the Rebbe and Talmud are intertwined in a spiritual way. Maybe that same mazal ra that happened to the Rebbe also should impact the student. Either it becomes an interesting discussion whether or not one should fast on the yahrzeit of the Rebbe, but it goes back to this Gemara here that for the child, the Yorish, the Ben, is Kara Davua. So Gemara says, in the end of the day, how do we paskin? Can a Yorish be Mevatel, the Rishus of his father? So Amar Lei, Ani Omer, Mevatel, I hold. Rav Nachman was the one, I think he was asking the question. Rav asked Rav Nachman, I hold. Mevatel, you can't. Hani de Bei Shmuel, but in the Bei Shmuel they say Tani Ein Mevatel, they say not to. So this is a machlokas. Based on the Ein Mishpat, it seems that a Yorish can be Mevatel Rishus. That's how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. And the Gemara asks the question, Eisivei, Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol Shemutter Lemikzas Shabbos, Hutter L'chol Shabbos. Anything that was Mutter with the onset of Shabbos, even though something has changed, the Gemara is going to give the example. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. But if something was Mutter on the onset of Shabbos, even though that may have changed, the mechitza was, let's say, up on Shabbos, and then it fell down. Since it was good for part of Shabbos, it's good for all of Shabbos. And the flip side, v'chol shenesa l'miksa Shabbos, something that was aser in the beginning of Shabbos, even though something changed on Shabbos to allow it to be mutter, it's nesa l'chol Shabbos. Meaning, whatever the status was when Shabbos began, if it's mutter, it's mutter all of Shabbos. If it's aser, it's aser all of Shabbos. And chutz, mevata rishus, that it, with the exception of being mevata rishus. Okay, so what does this mean? Kol shehuter l'miksa Shabbos mutter l'chol Shabbos, that which was mutter for the beginning and the part of Shabbos is mutter for all of Shabbos, could go in Erev Derech HaPesach, V'nistam, HaPesach. So let's say you and I share a courtyard. So the only way to make an Erev with my neighbor is if there's a Pesach that we have a connection. If there's a wall, you can't make an Erev with two opposite sides of the wall. If we all have the same courtyard, let's say, all wide open, so you could totally make an Erev. Let's say there's a wall between my property and your property. Well, if there's a Pesach, if there's an entranceway, we're connected, and we can make an Erev. If we set up the bread properly, we contribute to a piece of matzah, then we can make it. If there's no entranceway, we can't make an Erev with each other. So let's say when Shabbos started, there was a Pesach. Could go an Erev derech Pesach, v'nistam, and somehow something fell, a tree fell, blocked the entranceway. So now even though if this were to be Erev Shabbos, the tree were to be blocking the Pesach, I could not have made an Erev because the Pesach isn't accessible. Since when Shabbos had begun, there was a Pesach, and now it's closed, that works. That's Miksa Shabbos, it's Mutter L'chol Shabbos. Or Erev Der Chalon, and V'nistam Acholon, same thing with the window. It was open before Shabbos, we made Erev, and then it got closed on Shabbos. Zeklal, when it says Zeklal, what does that come lasui? What's that coming to include? Which additional case? A Mavoy, Shenitla, Karosav, Alechyav, Kol. So that's the case. A Mavoy, when Shabbos started, had the proper Lechayim, had proper Karos. That's good. It fell on Shabbos. Don't worry about it. Since it was a Hutter L'miksa Shabbos, it's a Mutter L'chol Shabbos. Cool. And now, what was the other case? Kol Shenesar L'miksa Shabbos, that which was Aser for part of Shabbos, which is Nesar L'chol Shabbos, that's a case, Kugon, Kula, Kugon, Shnei Batim, Vishnei Tzidei Rishis Rabim. We had this case mentioned a few times. Got two houses across from Rishis Rabim. You can't make an Erev around Rishis Rabim, so you can't carry on Shabbos. But let's say on Shabbos, V'kufam Nachrim and Mechita, B'Shabbos, Goyim came along, they built a Mechita on Shabbos, so now they're walled in, there's no longer Rishis Rabim, there's no access point. Maybe I should be able to carry within, between these two houses. That's Aser. That's since it's Nesar, look, Miksa Shabbos, it's also Shabbos cool. And Zaklal, that last rule, what is it coming to include? Lasui, my Lasui, Mesa Nachri, B'Shabbos. That if a Nachri, we know the din, if a Nachri is living in my property in our neighborhood, we have to rent space from him. If he didn't rent space, you can't make the property, can't make the Erev. Let's say the guy dies on Shabbos. So we don't need there's no Sechir Zakim anymore, he's dead. Still, since it was a miksas Shabbos Aser, it's also the Chol Shabbos Kula. So that was the additional case. Okay, this is all just by way of background to set up for the following, which is the Kashya. The Gemara says, Navakatani, Chutz mi mevatel Rishus, except when a guy's mevatel Rishus, so that's the one exception. What does mevatel Rishus mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the last four narrow lines here, Chutz mi mevatel Rishus, Sheshachach of lo Erev, one of the guys in the Chatzar forgot to participate in the Erev, the Shabbos. Shava Pisha Nesel Mixa Shabbos, even though when Shabbos started, since he didn't participate, we weren't allowed to carry in the Chatzar. Yeshal Takana, there's an exception where you can fix this on Shabbos, B'Shabbos from him being Mevatel Rishus. That's the one exception where even though it's Mixas, it's a good trivia question, where it's Mixas, also for Mixas Shabbos, is actually Mutter the rest of the Shabbos. Now the Gemara, the Diyuk here is as follows. Chos Mevatel Rishus, Ihu In Yorish Lo. The guy who's Mevatel Rishus, the Diyuk is only the guy himself, only the owner can Mevatel Rishus, but it implies that the Yorish cannot do so. A Yorish, only the owner himself, but not the Yorish. That's the Diyuk. I don't fully appreciate the Diyuk, to be honest. But the Gemara says, Chutz mivata rishus, ihu in, only that guy, the owner, yoresh lo. And the Gemara says, which is what I would have thought would be the simplest understanding here, Ema chutz mitaras bitrushus, with exception to the concept of bitrushus. Now, we're not talking who's doing the bitrushus, whether it's the father or the yoresh, but the concept of being mivata rishus, that is the one exception that could undo that which was aser b'miksa Shabbos. So there is no kasher, there is no raya from this brisa. One more brisa, and then we'll call it a day. The Gemara says, Eisiveh. So one of the guys in the courtyard, he dies, and his yorish is some guy who doesn't live in the property. It's someone who lives in a different neighborhood. So mibod yom, if the mace, the petir happened erev Shabbos, mibod yom, so now the owner, he's now the new partner in the chatzer. So oser, he asks it, if he doesn't participate in the erev, his ownership is ossering the rest of the property here. Mishach hashecha, if the person died only after Shabbos had begun, then ain't also, because since Shabbos started, the guy was alive, and the father, participated in the Erev, so the fact that he died, it doesn't answer it, because this is a case of Mixas Shabbos Mutter, Mutter B'chol Shabbos Kula. But let's take the situation that V'echa Minashuk Shemes, V'niach Rishuso L'echad Mid B'nei Achatzer, so let's say now a guy from the Shuk dies, and he left his property to one of the guys in the Bnei Chatzer. In other words, that, one second here. Right, so one of the guys already, so let's say you have five guys living here. So let's say, we'll call him number five. Number five guy died. He left it to a number four guy. His Yorish was number four. The number four already participated in the Erev already, because one, two, three, four, all part gave the Erev. Five dies, he gives it over to four. So if Gemara says, if it happened, Echam in the Shuk, Shemes, if he died, Vinyach Rishi. The reason why he's in the Shuk, because number five was in the Shuk. He didn't participate in the Erev. He died in the Shuk. So he wasn't able to be participating in the Erev. So if he died, Mibod Yom before Shabbos, so then his property went to number four. Number four already participated in the Erev, so you're allowed to walk in the Chatzar. One, two, three, four all participated in the Erev. So again, read that again. Echam in the Shuk, one guy, number five guys in the Shuk, Shemes, he dies before he's able to participate in the Erev. He left his property number four guy in that same chatzer. If it happened in Yom, ain't also, it doesn't ask for the usage. However, if number five guy dies, Mishach Hashecha, since he was in the Shuk and he never participated in the Erev, so when Shabbos started, he was never part of the Erev and he died, Oser, it asks it. Because now, since Shabbos started, he didn't participate in the Erev, it starts as a mixas Shabbos Oser, and therefore Oser, B'Shekol Shabbos Kula. So Mark says, why is it Oser? We said there's an exception. There's one way to override and mix this iser. Amai osa niftal. Why doesn't the guy number four, who just became the yorish of number five, let number four mivatel rishus of number five, and everything should be fine? So the Gemara says, my osa. What does it mean, oser? Nami de katani ad shivata. What it means is it's oser until the guy performs bitter rishus. But once bitter rishus takes place, einach nami, it works. So you see from here that bitter rishus will be effective even by a yorish can perform the Bitter Rishus on Shabbos of the Mace. Okay, we will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Everyone, good Chodesh. Tomorrow.